today on Know How. We're going to talk all about gaming accessories.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This episode of Know How is brought to you by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website on WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off any new plan at WordPress.com/knowhow.
Welcome to Know How. That's right. You bet you didn't know I could kick that high.
I can't. I didn't wear my kicking jeans.
It's all right. I'm Jason Howell, Know How Gaming, and I'm super pumped. Joining me once again, Sam Iskovich from Ars Technica. How you doing, Sam?
Doing pretty well. I'm stoked because this Know How series has been pretty fun, and we're getting into controlling. We're getting into actually that part of doing the things in the games that we love. So I'm really into control.
Yeah? Well,
I'm a control freak.
Hey, that actually works because, you know, in the last 24 hours, I would say, yeah, you really are, man. Like, you should really tone it down a little bit. Just kidding. You're awesome. Control freak away. But I would say, like, within gaming, like, you've got the basics, right, when it comes to controls, and then you can really go deep. Like I thought initially when I was putting this together, I was like, you know, when you get a console, for example, it ships with a controller in the box. It may or may not be good enough for most people, but then there's a certain level of people, certain level of gamer that wants to take it, crank it up a notch and take it to the next level. Would you say that you fall into that category? Like, do you put those added, like, elite pro controllers to the test?
I think if you're going to play a lot of games, you want to have a controller you like for the system you're playing with. And so that means you're kind of diving in to a PC or console kind of ecosystem and finding the right headset or the right controller, whatever it is that's just going to make it easier to chill out for hours, either by yourself on a quest or with friends doing a crazy battle royale with hundreds of other people.
Yeah. Okay. If you had to, like, name a thing or two that standard controllers out of the box lack when compared to kind of like these upgraded, you know, nuts and bolts, everything in the box type of controllers, what do they lack?
One word: customability. Customization. Okay. Wow.
Customability find the right... works also if you want to create a
customalockable. No, customization is the thing that you want from a higher level controller. You want a better spread of what buttons do what. And in addition, it's just about higher quality components. You're going to get maybe a better joystick, maybe better button action, something for a bigger hand. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way you're kind of going, is like what fits exactly with how I want to play in terms of what feels good in my hand and what's the quickest way to get to the kind of move I want to do.
When I was researching about some of these controllers, I noticed that there's a lot of wireless. That's kind of the world that we live in now, wireless controllers. But there are some out there that you can pay a good amount of money for and they're still wired. Why would someone in this day and age choose to do that?
It doesn't really matter. You're not going to get that much of a latency difference. Some people just absolutely don't. They don't want to lose a single frame.
Yeah.
And that's when you want to go wired, especially if you're hitting on a fight stick in a fighting game. Those frames are crucial. You know, that's if you're, you know, playing in a crazy Street Fighter V tournament, as I do, you know, all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
I have one of those I got to get to in a minute, actually, so we should probably wrap this up.
All right, cool. Well, then let's dive in. I was able to kind of pull together a list. You and I kind of worked together to kind of pick out some really good selections for each of the consoles, at least one controller that kind of signifies an example of this kind of souped-up version of the controller. Let's start with this right here. This is the SCUF Vantage, and I believe this is a brand new controller. I mean, SCUF has other controllers. This is only just hitting the market, right?
Yeah, that one is, I saw that at E3 earlier this year and at PAX. It looks like an Xbox controller, but you're noticing PlayStation buttons. SCUF is making Xbox and PlayStation controllers with this sort of thing. But Jason has already jumped the gun to crazy stuff.
I'm doing the beauty shot right now.
Well, you're excited because you got the front of it. It looks pretty standard in terms of your two joysticks and your zillions of buttons. I'm going to take this from you now because you were clearly 12 years old, which is great. but you're seeing a placement that's unlike the normal PlayStation where you've got the joysticks normally down lower.
Oh,
so sometimes on that that Halo first person way, you might want those joysticks spread out as such. And otherwise, the button spread, instead of A, B, X, Y, you've got your square, circle, triangle, X.
Yeah.
And again, you already kind of jumped the gun on some of the interesting stuff, is that you have a set of four action buttons that are kind of hair trigger. It doesn't take very much.
No, they're very light touch. I mean, yeah. you just kind of click it very softly.
And just to even turn it over here, it's the idea is that you can sort of fit your fingers individually on each.
Oh,
you've got
wow.
your ring and your your index and your middle finger can go on each as you see fit.
So, and are those like kind of like custom like macro buttons almost? Like, could you program a sequence of fighting moves into a single one and just boom?
It's not a macro.
That seems like cheating.
It does seem like cheating, and there are controllers out there that go that way.
Okay.
I'm personally none of these are currently macro-y
that
we have out here. But what you can do with this is it's a hardware switch. You press down a button and then hold down whichever of these you want to change and the button you also want assigned and let go. And so that within the hardware itself, it memorizes, oh, this extra button, which is not part of the normal PlayStation kit, is going to be my X button or my right trigger or things like that.
So you can redirect the buttons that you're used to having on the face of the controller into different locations, different areas. And,
right.
Oh, I'm a freak when it comes to this stuff, so go ahead and watch as I peel that off. Because why would you ever leave that on? The old host of this show, Padre, would leave that on. I will not, though. I'm going to throw that away.
Wow, very nice. Well, while we're doing that beauty shot, though, there's something else to do. Because if you want to get rid of things that are on the surface, why don't we just go all the way and take that whole shell off, which lets us go in and customize
this controller. Don't break the controller.
It's supposed to be done that way. We actually have a whole set of additional add-ons and buttons that we can do for the different trigger pulls, for the different joysticks. So there's more concave or convex. I'm probably mixing those up. But one other interesting thing when we look on the inside of this is you can remove the rumble battery, guys. So if you want a lighter controller, you can just say, I don't really want the rumble. I want something lighter on each hand. Or if for any reason you just want it imbalanced or only want one, you go. And additionally, you can remove that D-pad and swap in a different D-pad if you want real easy.
It just snaps in like magnetically?
Yeah, it's magnetic.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And so I'm not going to go to the crazy trouble of pulling some of these other ones off. I don't know how much unscrewing is required. I know this guy just pulled off really easily. Because, again,
right,
we have additional side buttons over here, and I think that might actually need to be kind of... And that's why we're not going to do all the rest of them, because they take some more snapping in. But the idea is that these little side buttons can also be programmed. Those are not part of a standard PlayStation controller.
Oh, interesting.
So you got options. Okay. I've already broken it, but we can figure that out later. But
I don't think it's actually broken. I think we just haven't figured out how to snap it into place. So that's the SCUF Vantage. I know when we were kind of preparing, you said you put it into terms where you said they are notorious. Notorious joysticks. Is that just because you got to be... Like, what does that mean?
Oh, the action on these joysticks is a little loose, which I think is more like the PlayStation 4, DualShock 4, than it is like the Xbox One joystick.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got, in terms of reverting back to the center, that's got a perfectly fine, it's just the sensitivity on a joystick is so minute that you want to definitely get that exact feeling for how you're playing. Like maybe in a first-person shooter, you're going to want to hit that specific range. I am not sure about an app that goes in for scaling on the joysticks on these. Some people really want to fine-tune that stuff, which leads me to a transition of another controller we have here, the Xbox Elite controller.
All right, and I have to apologize in advance, because when I go over to the other side, you're going to see the batteries. Because I misplaced the cover of this, and you know, hey, we've got a lot on our minds around here, so we're just gonna go ahead and leave that on there. Mm-hmm. But so this is the Xbox Elite controller. In my reading about the Xbox controller that ships with the Xbox One, it seems like everybody says it's a pretty darn awesome controller right out of the box. Like it's hard to get any better than that. This just takes it one extra step.
I would say yes. The Xbox One controller, everyone's got their own sort of preferences about D-pad and about button action. But the Xbox One controller has a great D-pad, solid joysticks, solid construction all around.
Yeah, it feels like
you don't
a tank.
Have to press in too far for these triggers and things like that. But the Xbox One Elite controller, which came out, I can't remember exactly how long ago. This is not a recent controller, but it's an expensive one. So at $150, you'd be forgiven for not necessarily stumbling onto it. It, too, has a custom removable D-pad I'll do that again. Removable D-pad, boom, there you go. And it also has these hair trigger switches. Now, unlike the Scuff controller, these come off.
I noticed they come off relatively easily.
I got to remember which of these ways go, but they do totally, they come off like that. They're magnetically sealed, so you can just say, oh my God, that is way too much stuff happening in my fingers, or my index and middle fingers
down
there.
So you I don't need those.
Or you can say, I only need one, and things like that, and you can even decide that you want one shape in a different one, and boom, you're good. They all sort of fit that way.
Interesting.
So Scuff came after the Elite. Scuff, I believe, was just a chance for PlayStation to get sort of a similar design.
Yep.
But I would say that this one is definitely heavier. I mean, this is...
Yeah, it feels a little more significant.
The construction of this bad boy is just... There's just a lot of weight. You're not removing rumble pads in order to get it lighter. You are... It feels expensive.
It does.
Like it's $150.
It really does.
And it's also... I really like the rubberized grip here. You don't really get that as much with the Scuff. The Scuff does have a rubberized grip, but this one, I'd say, is a firmer rubberized grip.
Yep.
And then you've got this sort of smooth mat at the top, so as your hand, your palm moves around up there, it has more ability to move. So lock in here, smooth out there.
Yeah.
I like that kind of action, but again, your mileage may vary. And the thing about the Xbox controllers that's really interesting, not just the Elite, you can go and get... the Xbox accessories app on either Xbox One consoles or Windows 10 and sync this up just using a micro USB, and it will save information on the controller about all the different stuff you might want to customize. So you might want to say, I want the Y button to be a different button. Xbox says fine, and you'll definitely need that for these paddle buttons.
Got it.
You're going to need to use that accessories app. But that you can also go in and fine-tune the exact scale of how these analog sticks move. You can go in and say, the sensitivity and the kind of curve of the action that you get on them.
Yep.
It's not very user-friendly in terms of when you go into the app. It's something you'll really want to play with if you want to have that sort of, I want to move really rapidly all the way, and I want to have this very fine, slow movement when I'm doing a snipe in a Call of Duty or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So those are options there that you get with any Xbox controller on either Xbox One or Windows 10.
Nice.
But the Elite is designed from the ground up to say, hey, go into the app, customize, go crazy. I really like that.
One thing I really like about what this controller offers, if I go on the overhead shot, you've got the headphone port, right? And you actually have it on the Scuff as well.
And that was a later...
Is that pretty standard?
So the Xbox One controller did not ship originally with that. Now every Xbox One controller comes with that connector, that 3.5 millimeter. But they all originally came with this annoying proprietary jack.
Right.
And right when Kinect went away, other things started going right, and that was one of them. So whichever controller on the Xbox or PlayStation side you go with, you'll get that 3.5 millimeter headphone jack.
Nice.
And I don't know about you, but I love my 3.5 millimeter headphone jacks.
Yes, yes. Don't get rid of those in lieu of something else. And then finally, for the Nintendo Switch, I mean, I don't know that this has the customization capability.
No,
customability, as you said earlier.
Not at all. Nintendo being Nintendo, this is a pretty standard controller. But in the world of the Joy-Con, this is something that is really nice to have. Because
it's kind of an upgrade.
The main thing that really stinks about using the Joy-Con is that you've got the joysticks are set in such a way, and we're going to grab that out in a second, that they are not set up in this nice thumb-moving diagonal way. In fact, we'll just bring that down here. If I am trying to switch...
it's got to be... Where is it?
There we go. But it's not as much of a natural action. If I want to go to a D-pad over here, there is a bit of a straining.
Yep.
It's not as natural for me to constantly slide back and forth between those two. You get that fun benefit of being able to go like this in a Super Nintendo style.
Sure.
But you lose that really nice natural move my thumbs exactly in their range of motion. So the Switch Pro controller made officially by Nintendo is the way to get that. You get this... I like this slightly translucent shell here.
Yeah.
In terms of seeing
it's a nice
inside.
Touch.
If you look very carefully, and we're not going to be able to do it on this camera, there is a weird message in English that is printed on this joystick on the inside. You can't see it.
Oh.
You have to really go microscopy with it. That's something like a message of go on and get them gamers or something like that. but otherwise, it replicates all the buttons that you're going to get from the Joy-Con. So you got your two joysticks. They got their clicky action on each of them. The joysticks feel very good. It's right up there, I'd say, with the Wii U Pro controller in terms of that. These Trigger buttons are great. They feel really good, especially more than these really flimsy ones on the Joy-Con. These will do in a pinch, but man, give me these bigger ones any time of day.
Well, and that larger form factor is so much better than when you're breaking these controllers out for like two-player mode and you gotta... Like, that's one thing I really do love about the Switch is just the kind of modular capability of this out of the box, having a two-player possibility by just breaking out the joystick. So it's nice in a pinch, but man, it's so much more enjoyable to play with a joystick like this.
Going to give you two caveats with the Pro Controller. Number one, no 3.5mm jack. So
right.
If you want to do audio with the Switch, that's its own rigmarole. This system does not support Bluetooth headsets as well, so that's its own pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah.
But more importantly, if you're a D-pad fanatic, you might think, oh, Nintendo and D-pads, well, that's just a default. That's easy. However, to this day, Nintendo still has a slight defect that sometimes ships with these where it gives phantom touches for the D-pad.
Oh, no way.
I'm not kidding you, it is an invisible tape trick is what it's called. We would spend a lot of time cracking this bad boy open, but if you just tape down one of the little connectors, it's not very hard to pop this open. It doesn't void the warranty. Just put invisible tape down to fix any issue. You can go into the Nintendo Switch, into the controller section, and calibrate, and you'll see when you press the D-pad whether it's giving you issues or not. You want to do this before playing Puyo Puyo Tetris with a friend. I made the mistake of not checking that first and lost the game and blamed it on the controller. This day, my friend says, no, you just stink.
Man, that must have just ruined your life.
I'm talking about it right here with an audience.
You're reliving your horror
for
everyone.
But when it comes to paying a little more for a controller, it's sort of a surprising thing to expect from
a
Nintendo
product. That is very strange that you have to open it up and put a piece of tape in there.
Don't have to, but it happens.
Right.
There are some models that still is coming out. So be mindful of that. But otherwise, the joysticks and other buttons, if you're playing Splatoon, you're good. If you're playing ARMS, you're good. Things like that where it's joysticks and buttons, you're solid.
Right on. So that is the Nintendo Switch Pro Controller, $70. On that one. Cool stuff. All right, so that's a good look at kind of some of the more premium kind of upgraded controllers for the consoles. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about controllers for PCs and just kind of how things get a little bit more niche-y in the PC control world. And we've got actually one controller that's relatively new that's really interesting. We'll take a look at that in a second.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and thank the sponsor of this episode of Know How, and that is WordPress. You already know all about WordPress. I mean, they're all over the internet. When you need a website, when you have a vision, WordPress is going to help you through that. WordPress.com, you have no limits when you go that route. It frees you so that you can create the ultimate online hub for what's truly yours. And you also have a bunch of room there to grow as things get bigger, as you kind of broaden out your vision for your website. WordPress makes that easy. You can turn your vision into a reality and launch your website on WordPress.com, and a whole bunch of options kind of open up for you. On WordPress.com, you can choose from hundreds of designs, and that allows you to match your vision and kind of establish your brand no matter how much design experience you have. If you have no design experience, it doesn't matter. WordPress is going to help you through that. It's hassle-free. WordPress takes care of the hosting, security, and software updates, so you can focus on what's really important, your site, and they can deal with the rest. You can upload images, video, audio, and more. Plus, you can import and export content to and from your WordPress website. It is your site after all, so it's your home, your content. You make it entirely yours. And you can grow your audience and reach new customers with built-in SEO, social media features, and marketing tools. With the WordPress app, if you have that running on your mobile device, you can manage your site on the go wherever you happen to be. They make it really easy to do that. And you can launch your website with confidence, knowing that you can get help from a 24/7 support team when you need it. WordPress plans start at just $4 a month. And did you know 31% of all websites run on WordPress? 31%, all websites. Crazy when you think about it. Right now, get 15% off any new plan purchase. All you have to do is go to wordpress.com/knowhow and you can start creating your website. wordpress.com/knowhow, you'll get 15% off your new website. That's wordpress.com/knowhow. And we thank WordPress for their support of Know How. And now, back to the learning.
Okay, so we spent some time looking at the console controllers. Some of this stuff can work in console too as we move into this next section, but I guess what I wanted to kind of do is dive in a little bit at like the specialty controllers, kind of niche controllers, because I mean, there's fighting sticks, there's controllers for flight games, there's wheels for driving games. I don't know how necessary any of this stuff is, but I guess people who are very passionate about these particular genres of games probably feel like at a certain level it's very necessary, right?
Well, on the PC gaming side, specialized controllers have sort of been there from day one. I mean, I can remember having that friend who was really into Jane's flight simulators and absolutely had some sort of heavy-duty joystick, which wasn't really a true facsimile of being in a like incredible, you know, Apache helicopter or something like that. But it was something to that effect. And that sort of level of, I really like one genre of crazy PC game, and I want all of the buttons and all of the switches and all the joysticks.
And I want to understand the action that I get out of it. Because, I mean, you know, when you're talking about fighting sticks, like, they probably have different kind of, you know, different snap ability to, you know, hitting the key, hitting the button, knowing that's going to register immediately. Yeah. There's no lag or whatever the case may be.
Let's start just really quickly with fighting sticks, because these are, if you really like playing arcade fighting games, you want a few things. You want giant buttons so that you can have your whole hand being able to pound from your weak kick to your strong punch. And you want that really big joystick that gives you a really meaty click.
Yeah.
Because when you're playing on an Xbox or PlayStation and you're using a D-pad or a joystick, you're not getting that really nice click that gives you that eight-way confirmation that you're hitting those exact quarter circles or charge back and forth. That matters if you're really into that kind of game, because you're either just mashing buttons or you're trying. And if you want to go to the trying level, this is where you're getting into territory. I just want to say, because we're not experts on fighting sticks by any stretch, but my first big advice, if you are interested in ever getting a fighting stick, don't go for what's on sale. If something is sold for 50 or 60 or 70 bucks, there's probably a reason, and you're just not going to get it. Yeah. In particular, those tend to be the ones that just die way too soon. You don't want that kind of fighting stick that you're going to pound at on a regular basis to let you down. I am not equipped to tell you exactly what the best fighting stick in the world is, but it's a really good idea to double check which platforms you're going to play on. Because chances are, your Xbox One compatible fighting stick and your PlayStation 4 compatible fighting stick aren't going to play nice. Now, some will do PS3 and PS4. And PS3 had a lot of really weird Japanese-only fighting games. So if that's your specific... If you're already niche enough to get a fighting stick, you should definitely look at how far back and which platforms you're going to play on. But a lot of PS4 and Xbox One fighting sticks will work on PC. And a ton of fighting games are on Steam and other platforms. You can get, I mean, Tekken 7 is console exclusive on PS4, but is also on PC. Mm-hmm. There's some games that aren't. Soul Calibur 6 is coming up pretty soon this holiday season. That's going to be console exclusive. So, you know, you don't get every single thing. So look into which platform it works with and make sure you're just getting a reliable stick. So that's sort of the way to go with that kind of fighting. Again, that's really only going to be good for fighting games. You don't need something that clicky to play Mario. You're going to be fine doing Mario Brothers without a whole bunch of buttons and that clicky kind of joystick. But once you're in the fighting world and you really care about that frame perfect stuff, don't half butt it.
Okay. In my research, I found a lot of positive reviews, positive reaction on the Hori Real Arcade Pro Fighting Stick. Mm-hmm. And just to give a sense, and this listing is showing for PlayStation 4, so this is not for the PC, but I imagine... it even says Windows PC.
Most of the ones will have some sort of USB to make that sort of thing easy. You've got 8 buttons, so that's going to be your sort of standard face buttons, and then your both of your triggers and both of your bumpers, depending on which platform you're on.
Right.
Is already PS3, PS4. Hori is definitely well known for fighting sticks. That doesn't mean every single Hori stick and system is going to be great, but you know they're giant. Make sure you have some room. Put it next to that Stairmaster. That's under your bed, just in case.
$150 for that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we've got the wheels. I know I'm a huge fan of racing games, or at least I was back in the day of Cruising USA. Have they come a long way since Cruising USA?
I don't know. Gran Turismo was out around the same time, and really good wheels came out around that same time.
Yeah.
You at that point, that sort of opened up the console world to going, oh, I might want to play a realistic driving game.
Sure.
I know, you know, a Honda is going to be tuned really differently from a Ford, and I want to feel that action, and especially in terms of that sort of force feedback that you get when you're turning
the
in.
Resistance. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
all that.
And so that's, again, an issue of what is this going to be compatible with when you get that racing system of combination of pedals and steering wheel, and you definitely want some heft. You don't want that,
you want it to be
that
light
little
plasticky.
Well, you don't want that box that your pedals are on, because you're going to be pushing down on an accelerator, a brake, and a clutch. You might be using both of your feet. You don't want that hobbling around. You don't want any plastic pieces snapping. So you're going to spend some money on those. But every single time that I've gotten into a racing game, whether it's arcade or full-on sim with that kind of controller, the difference is completely tangible, because car games were earlier, I think, than most other genres in looking photorealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, oh, yeah, that looks right. like real life, because it doesn't have to render faces. It's just shiny, beautiful cars
and
shiny, beautiful range
landscapes.
Tracks.
And, yeah.
So
yeah.
That to me is a really nice way of going, okay, yeah, I'm going to spend a bunch of money on this. But again, Xbox and PlayStation are in their separate camps when it comes to those, if you're going for a console compatibility, but most play nicely with PC as well. Tons of PC options. A lot of really high-end VR games on PC, particularly Project Cars 1 and 2, both have VR modes. And if you're already crazy enough to go into VR, you may as well finish off the whole sensation with the steering wheel and the pedals and, you know,
totally.
Get a fan and blow in your hair. Do the top-down version of whatever car you're in.
Right. And then in kind of looking around, the Thrustmaster VGTS XW is a wheel that is not cheap. This sucker is $650. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, and that's probably because it's not just the steering wheel console. It's also the pedals. I mean, things look really,
oh yeah,
really polished, really solid.
That's going to be hefty. The money that you're spending on that is mostly, I mean, God, I bet half of that is the shipping. No, that's not a cheap thing to produce. But yeah, and you'll notice there, it's got that very specific race car style in terms of what you're pushing on the face of the wheel, like you might do in an F1 sim. Because again, you might be on the F1 side when you're playing somebody, especially on PC. There's a ton of F1 dedicated stuff in the PC space.
Dang. Thrustmaster actually seems like a big name as far as these kind of niche style controllers. Talking a little bit about Flight Stick, and you actually, your colleague at Ars Technica wrote about the Thrustmaster TPR.
Right.
What can you tell us about Flight Sticks and what you need to look for?
Not as much as my colleague Lee Hutchinson can. He's obsessed. He has a whole crazy cage at his home that he hooks virtual reality and joysticks and pedals into.
Wow.
But when
have you enjoyed that? Have you been able to?
I will never
that?
Go to that man's house. I'm terrified. I would probably never leave. Probably because I'd just sit and play video games.
Yeah, exactly.
But in terms of, you are going for some really high grade parts when you're doing anything in the way of a flight sim. So this is a territory that I am only hinting at, as opposed to being an expert on.
Right.
This is a lot of money. These tend to be PC specific because these are going for some of these, again, Jane's level kind of craziness for the kind of abilities and buttons and customization you're going to do. So do some research on these in particular. You're going into thousands of dollars if you're in this space. But that's how you can simulate a ton of antique and modern military gear and everything in between. That's kind of cool. And I mean, that's something that only games can do, is get you into that kind of simulator.
Totally.
And you don't have to, you can get down there in that $1,000, which would have probably cost tens of thousands if you wanted to get something military grade for a simulator at like a military facility. So it's not necessarily my bag, but I'm super into anybody who's into that.
Absolutely. It's cool that you can go so deep into this stuff that you can really simulate all this stuff so well.
And I got to say, in terms of the number of kind of weird controllers that are out there, over the years, arcade and home worlds have melded together. You know, we're not in the Guitar Hero age anymore, where you've got plastic drums and guitars being sold by every single company.
Right.
But, I mean, goodness, the Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4 are going to get a drumming game in a couple months. It just came out in Japan, Taiko Drum Master. And with the Nintendo Switch version, you can either choose to use your Joy-Cons with the motion sensitivity and drum to the beat, or get the hard drum. Japanese reviews have come in and said, get the drum because of just the sheer action of it just feels better.
Yeah, it feels nice to have some sort of point that you hit.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's like $90 to $150. I'm not sure the exact price, but those games are pretty fun. There's just something about the specific action. There's a Taiko Drum Master machine at an arcade I love in Seattle, and I love pounding on it. There's just something that feels good about it. And those ones that are coming out soon are a good example. You know, DDR is another crazy sort of thing. I'm not even going to get into that. Pads like that are made not very much anymore. They're very specialized. You're going to have to do some real deep dive Googling. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head where to go for a DDR pad.
But people pull those into their homes? That's crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you want to get like a metal one. You can get like a metal one as opposed to those plastic mats that are really odds.
But you don't want a twister mat.
But that's stuff that's still out there. But I'm really excited because I have something that I'm really excited to show off.
Yes, absolutely. So this is the Xbox Adaptive Controller. And when we're talking about kind of niche controllers, this is something special because this is really designed to be all about accessibility, right?
Exactly.
People who maybe, you know, their bodily condition, their situation makes it so that they can't hold on to a traditional controller, but they're still gaming fans. They still want to play these games. This enables that.
Yeah, I was really fortunate to go to Microsoft's campus when they were unveiling this months ago, and it only launched at Microsoft stores, either online or in person, a few weeks ago since we taped this. So, you know, middle of August. And what I would say is you look at this controller and you see some familiar Xbox things. You've got a D-pad and you've got an A button and a B button. And you might say to yourself, well, where's the rest of the controller? Well, lucky us, in terms of this camera angle we already have here, we have all of the other buttons are represented as 3.5 millimeter ports. And you can see these labels here, Y, X, B, A. There's one for the clicking of a joystick, the start and select buttons, so on and so forth. But you might say to yourself, well, what do I do at that point? Well, lucky me, I've got something with a 3.5 millimeter cable. This right here, which is now tangled in another cord, is a finger switch. This guy right here is a very simple on-off just click of any button. So let's say I want to play a game, but I only have one good hand. I mean, that's a perfectly common situation depending on the player.
Right.
Microsoft was very nice to provide me this new Xbox Nunchuck. This works with the adaptive controller. You can't plug it into a computer or other Xbox in order to get the functionality. You're going to need the adaptive controller to make it work. But it looks very similar to the Wii Nunchuck. You've got one joystick. It does not click down. And you've got two buttons. Now, when you plug this in on this side here, it says L. That's for the left joystick. We're going to plug that in. And now we have one joystick, two buttons, two more buttons, and then let's say you still only have one good hand and you just want to be able to press the trigger down. I picked the right trigger slot right there. And now with one hand, I potentially have, you know, joystick, possibly three buttons. You might have to press this against your cheek or against your head. And then these little guys right here are very strong. I can pound on these with an elbow. So again, we're in sort of a one-handed situation. Wow. What's nice is, though, if you press down on that, you feel a pretty solid click, but you also can press very lightly to get the action. So if you want to bang on it, great, and if you want to just barely tap it, you can do that. This will work with Windows 10 and Xbox One systems right out of the box, and it'll work with anything that recognizes an Xbox One controller.
Yep.
So if you've got the right drivers, you can get this going on Linux, on Mac, I'm not sure about smartphones necessarily, but you have those options.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything on smartphones in here.
Well, because they don't advertise that officially. It just doubles as an Xbox One controller, and a ton of things already kind of recognize that you have to jerry-rig. I just think it's a remarkable thing. I actually just went to Seattle Children's Hospital recently and just was able to work with this kid who only had one good hand. And he sat down. He was bummed out. He's, you know, in a therapeutic rehab sort of situation based on his disabilities. And he was able to grab this one nunchuck and have his one bad hand that could flip down on one of these buttons and was able to play a racing game. And the smile that lit up on his face melted every single custodian in the room. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
That's awesome.
But you also, the interesting thing is that's enabling someone who might not play, but you may also find some use out of this in your own gaming. This is $100 for these two buttons. Now, just getting two buttons alone might cost you $100, but this comes with both Bluetooth and Xbox Wireless as protocol. You can also wire it with USB Type-C, and it just plays nicely with that Xbox accessories app we were talking about, so that you can go in and customize all of the way that the buttons go. You can have three different profiles that's got this little indicator right here that you can create three custom profiles. So instead of having to switch jacks in and out of the back, you can say, oh, well, here's my racing setup,
here's my
platforming one, my fighting one. It's not perfect. you really do need to get extra pieces, and that can get expensive. Like, if you only have your mouth and head to use, you might need to get a big button to bonk your head against. You might need to get a biting tube or a blowing tube.
Right.
Those are out there. They're specialized. They're expensive. But there's options out there. But ultimately, I just think it's cool both to enable people who wouldn't play and to give people who do play just a couple of extra big buttons to potentially do some weird stuff with, to go, you know what, maybe I want to have a certain action that's like tappable with my foot for a reasonable price that works with standard gaming systems.
Yeah, so. I mean, to a certain degree, it's very similar to what we were showing off in some ways.
Absolutely.
With the SCUF and the Xbox Elite controller having these kind of assignable extra things that aren't standard, but hey, if you're an advanced gamer and you're getting deep into gameplay and you know it's going to make you a more efficient player to assign things to a separate controller that you can tap with your foot, that's amazing. That's
and this works with Copilot on Xbox and Windows, meaning that you can have a standard controller and this. So you you were already handicapped using one controller, and this just gives you a couple more options with the controller you already had. Yeah. So it's really cool. I think anybody who gets any sort of delight after about hearing about this should really look it up. At $100, that's a great price.
Not
Microsoft's
bad.
Not looking to make money. They're looking for reputation, and good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And serving a community, I mean, everybody wants to be able to play these games. Games are not easy to play, even for people who are able-bodied, you know, with these controllers. Just opening the playing field and giving other options. I mean, I guarantee you, at some point in the near future, we're going to see people with very limited mobility using these and surprising people at how well they play these games that you just kind of assume wouldn't be possible.
There's a Twitch community out there that already streams using standard stuff and special weird proprietary stuff, but it tends to require these hubs that require their own drivers being installed and all this extra crap, and this streamlines it, especially if you're a custodian who doesn't know how games work. This won't magically make it easy for a custodian to turn a game on, but it's absolutely reducing the barrier to entry.
Love it. All right, so that's the Xbox Adaptive Controller, $100, and I'm sure these, you know,
$20 for that nunchuck, $20 for a Switch, $20 for a foot pedal. That's sort of a starting set. You're paying a lot more for more specialized stuff, but you can get in for under $200 for a full suite.
Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about headsets, which I will fully admit is a kind of aspect of gaming that I have avoided. I've just never been really in a situation where I needed to get a gamer headset. This is really just about online multiplayer gaming, right?
For the most part, a headset is getting you more neatly tapped into all of the audio that comes into play when playing online. Whether you're talking to friends, needing to hear the action around you, or deciding which piece of that audio is important. I mean, this really began with Xbox Live, with especially in the 360 generation, every single Xbox 360 came with a really crappy default one-ear headset, and the Xbox One consoles originally shipped with one of those as well. That's nothing compared to what you can get out of these bad boys. And in the streaming world, you've just got people who are already wearing these headsets and have the mics set up so that while they're streaming their favorite games, they can get their own voices in the mix so they can comment on what the heck they're playing. So that's sort of a use case, whether you want to stream professionally or record a couple of clips of, oh, here's what I did and ha ha ha, me shouting about it, or talk to your friends while playing, whether on console or on PC or both. You know, there's options out there that essentially say, you know what, maybe I don't need to get a giant, crazy surround sound system if I can get just some very nice, comfortable headphones with a microphone and just have that all in one, and then mom won't be so mad about all that ruckus I'm making in the basement.
Yeah, and I guess it doesn't, you know, I kind of pitched that as being all about, like, communicating in multiplayer. That doesn't necessarily have to be why you use this. Maybe you just like to have your sound close to your ears. I know sometimes when you play games, there's actually a lot of very informative information that is translated through sound. And so maybe it's late at night, you can't turn up your TV very loud, and so these would hopefully do the trick there. Now, you mentioned prior that some of these headsets will do like a 3D spatialization around the sound, which to my mind kind of seems like you're going against what the designers of the game probably were intended to translate, right?
It's sort of interesting that depending on the headset you get, you may have an advertised feature of 7.1 virtual surround sound.
Yes, always virtual surround. Yeah.
But the first thing I'm going to advise is always turn that off. Whatever the game maker has built in terms of either basic flat stereo or their own perhaps Dolby encoded or codec kind of feature, that is always going to give you more accurate information. That virtual effect is fun for movies and fun for things where the audio doesn't matter, but if you want to accurately place whether something is to your left or right, in front of or behind, you're always going to get something weird with that 7.1 fake surround that these sometimes ship with. Sometimes you'll even get a swishy effect because what they're doing with that audio isn't what the game designer intended. So first step, if you ever see something advertised as any of that, turn it off.
Okay, well, that's a good tip. All right, so I was able to pull in kind of a small range of like lower to higher end headsets. This, I believe, is the Razer Kraken Pro V2 analog gaming headset. Obviously here, this is wired. So you've got your options between wired and wireless. Right. What do you prefer? Do you like to have a wired headset?
I'll take a wired one whenever I can because of the batteries on console controllers kind of stink. I just like having a wired option. What's interesting about this one is that we have, in this bundle of cables, two different wiring issues. So by default, you can just do this kind of plug all by itself, a single 3.5 millimeter jack, plug that into your Xbox or PlayStation 4 controller, and boom, you're good to go. Or maybe you're on PC, and your PC has a separate microphone and headphone jack.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Yeah, you've got that adapter right there. This Razer headset is the only one we have here that comes with that specific use case in mind, which I very much appreciate whenever you might want to play on PC. Sometimes, the way your motherboard or sound card are set up, you might need these couple of cords. Sometimes, you don't, and Windows will recognize this just fine. So that's a nice thing that you'll want to double check, because I can't say for sure. Usually, you're fine either way, but always kind of double check and be sure.
Sorry, I'm just gonna go gaming
How do you feel wearing those giant things? Can you even hear me through?
I can because I've got this thing in my ear. But otherwise, yeah, it might be a little. Yeah, they let some outside sound in. They're not totally closed off.
You're not generally getting a lot of noise canceling when it comes to these gamer headsets because you're already getting a ton of noise. You're not like on a subway. You're not worrying about a bunch of extra sound going on necessarily. That's not the default use case.
Yeah, you're not walking down the street with these things. But I mean, look is a consideration, right? You want to get a headphone that you feel like looks okay on you, or does that just not matter when it comes to headsets?
I think it depends on what you're using, because again, this guy right here has a normal 3.5 plug. You could potentially plug that into your phone.
Sure.
I recommended SteelSeries. I'm not saying they're the best in the world, but I like the general look of this guy. It's got this sort of ski little guy. I did not adjust it for my puffy head, but it's the kind of thing where you can just put it on and it doesn't look incredibly awful in terms of being on the subway. It's not full of like crazy LED lighting. It's just sort of simple.
Right.
And the microphone, like on that one, retractable. So if I want to look like I'm in a video game, I got, you know, bah, 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 ta, ta, mic check 1, 2, and then I can take that off and remove that, stick that back in, and then I'm back to just having plain old, you know, headphones. So it's nice to have that as an option if I might want to take these and most of them happen to have jacks that will just let you plug in with the 3.5 millimeter guy. So
if you choose you want it to be wired and then you can, or wireless. Now, we actually have two different versions of the SteelSeries. We have the Arctis Pro with Game DAC, which I believe is what we're looking at here, which kind of gives you some extra kind of hi-fi audio.
The top of that with the dial is an OLED screen. And when you're in a game, you can use that to very quickly see whether you can set up some presets in terms of equalization, and you also see exactly what your split is between game audio and microphone audio. And that's one big thing, is that you may want to adjust that sort of thing on the fly. Sometimes your headset will just have a separate dial, one for volume and one for game versus mic audio. This one only has a volume dial. You're going to run all that game and mic balance through the DAC.
Right, okay. And then we also have the Arctis Pro Wireless, which is this one. The wireless is $329.99. The Game DAC is $249.99. So these are not inexpensive headsets. Is that about the higher end, would you say?
I've gotten SteelSeries headsets for $100.
Okay.
That just have everything built into the headset, and they're wired. You can get up to $150 for one of their wireless models that has all the dials in there without the DAC. Mm-hmm. You know, that DAC is letting you sort of go above and beyond or get extra sound sources. This has optical in and optical out.
Yep.
I mean, you know, if that is what you need for your specific sound system, if you have that kind of full surround sound rig and you want to have this be part of that cleanly, there you go.
Right. Awesome. Okay, and then I'd say maybe middle ground between these two is the Predator Galea 500 gaming headset. Well, actually, no, this is $299.99, so this is right up there as well. This one is wired, so that's
and
the
you'll
solution.
Notice, you've got but you'll notice the end of the wire on that is USB. And that means and that will work with consoles, and that will work even the Nintendo Switch if you're in the dock has a USB port, and that will definitely work with a PC. So you'll want to be double. Just because something has USB does not mean it's going to work with your system of choice.
Right.
It should, but don't ever just expect that as a guarantee.
I mean, this feels like a pretty solid headset. Yeah. It's pretty big.
But ultimately, but it's interesting though because gaming headsets don't necessarily prioritize sound quality in a way you might expect.
Right.
Sometimes they're going to go that Beats by Dre way of going emphasizing bass too much, and you might be into that in the game, or that might be very distracting. Some of them just aren't really as good at music reproduction and are focused more on specific crazy dynamic sound blasts coming around in terms of sound effects and less about music. And ultimately, gaming, all audio is subjective as heck.
Absolutely.
There's no way of recommending the best fit. Now, these are all over-ear. There are some in-ear solutions, but not really. You're tending to get these giant over-ear muffs, but you're going to get different fits. You're going to get, you know, we've got some either leather or faux leather here.
Yep.
We've got something
fabric.
That's more cloth and fabric-y here. And depending on how long you're playing and depending on how much you sweat, that can really add up.
Absolutely. If you're playing for hours, that's a huge consideration.
And that's not something that you can just take, you know, be like, I'm going to sweat in this for 2 weeks, Amazon.
I'm going to return it.
Take it back. I mean,
it's too sweaty.
Sometimes you can get some pretty generous exchanges in that way, but that's not like the default. So you got to be prepared to know what you really like. Now, I'll tell you, though, I've got some dinky $20 headphones that just plug in to my computer and to my Xbox, PlayStation 4. You know, sometimes in a pinch, that's all you need. These are great. But sometimes you just want to be able to talk to a friend and still get good, clear audio through the wireless protocol. And don't forget that your own 3.5-millimeter jack, if you can make a phone call with it and, you know, do send and receive audio with that, you will be able to play an online game. You don't have to use a gamer set of headphones if they've got that, you know, phone microphone jack.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome stuff. All right, cool. So that's kind of a look at some of the essential accessories, I would say. We didn't really talk very much about kind of accessories for PC gaming. We alluded to this a few weeks ago on an earlier episode as far as, like, you know, gamer, like, keyboards that are really designed for gamers on PC, also mouse and stuff like that.
So you'll have to rewind to that episode. We talked about blue switches, you know, on the keyboard that we tested out, which is a different sort of clicky feel. So even
that's
in that realm, you have to sort of pick around and find that right feel for exactly how you want to FPS and exactly how many buttons you want on a mouse. But the short of it is, you don't need that many buttons. Get something comfortable. Get that feel. You know, you want something chunky, but, you know, solid. But that's always fun.
Right on. Cool. So that's accessories. We've got a whole lot coming up, of course. Next week's episode, we're going to be talking about TV and sound. I mean, you know, modern TVs these days, they're designed with gamers in mind. Many times they have some sort of a gaming mode. So we're going to kind of talk a little bit about that, the impact of immersive sound in gaming and how important that is. We kind of touched on that a little bit with headsets and, you know, the soundscape within the headset. But what about filling your room? We'll kind of dive into the different kind of angles of that and everything. That is next week. Links, show notes, past episodes, subscribe links, everything that you need for this show, know-how, can be found at twit.tv/KH. New episodes will post every Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. So just go to twit.tv/KH and you can subscribe. It'll appear in your feed if you haven't subscribed already. Also, check out the community on Google+. We do have a community there. Just do a search for Twit Know How and you will find our community there. Right around 12,000 other fans of this show, all talking shop, all talking about gaming, Internet of Things, makery stuff, the whole gamut, and everybody pitching in to help each other out. And that's really what that community is all about. So you could also go to gplus.to/twitkh to find that. As for Twitter, you're on the Twitter. Where are you at?
Sam Red, easy to find there. Also head to arstechnica.com for all of my thoughts on these kinds of gizmos and many more.
Yep, absolutely. I'm on Twitter as well, at Jason Howell. And of course, the Mac and Josh, although Should I be plugging your Twitter, Josh?
I'm actually pushing my Instagram this week.
All right. So your Instagram then. What a diva. Where can people find you?
The Mac and Josh on Instagram.
Thanks for your help, Josh. And thanks to Burke, who's walking through the door. Appreciate everyone who helps each and every week do this show. We couldn't do it without you guys. And we couldn't do it without you. Thank you for watching Know How. We'll see you next week. And now that you know how, get to gaming while wearing maybe a big headset. I don't know. Put it on. We'll see you next week. Take care, you guys.